Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
What if we could grow presidential candidates in pods in the laboratory?
Look at those hands. Are they small hands?
It's alive! It's alive!
Forget it. We can't. But we can make synthetic life in the lab. Dr. J. Craig Venter has actually done that. Now he's wondering what the minimum number of genes would be for a life form to sustain itself. Far fewer than the 20,000 or so estimated genes that make up the human genome. What are all those genes doing?
I liken it to a symphony orchestra. People have been studying the single piccolo player versus the music from the entire orchestra. Obviously, the piccolo player is a key piece of some orchestras, but it will never get you a symphony. And so we need to be looking at the entire genome and it's all its components working together to create the symphony of life.
Let's hold on to that symphony idea. What is the minimum number of notes to make music? I've got my guitar here. We're going to actually try it out here. Just a C sharp played over and over and over. Doesn't sound like much, right? But let's actually do with music what Craig Venter did in the lab. We'll start with a much more complicated piece of something we agree is music. Steve Reich's Music for 18 Musicians. Nice, beautiful. Let's strip it down, though. Keep pulling out layers and instruments until we get the first notes of Steve Reich's Music for 18 Musicians, which is the very same C sharp I was playing over and over and over. Is it music? Is it biology? Is it a genome? If you think of life as the extremely complicated manifestations of much simpler rules of biology, chemistry, and even transferring data, then what we see as the incredible abundance of life forms all around us is the playing out of those rules again and again and again over time. If you can think of the DNA molecule as a way of transferring information, get enough DNA together and you've got a genome. But how much is enough? What is the minimum amount of chemistry, biology, or DNA information to make something that can make a copy of itself, reproduce? Humans have about 19,000 genes, just to give you a guide. To answer that question, we turn to human genome sequencing pioneer Craig Venter. He and his team that invented the techniques for mapping and manipulating genetic material painstakingly reverse engineered a simple genome by starting with something that is life and subtracting DNA carefully to find the minimal set of genes needed for life, and they got down to a spare 473 genes. Dr. J. Craig Venter heads up the Venter Institute and is founder of the biotech company Synthetic Genomics. SYN 3.0 is the name of their project.
We're trying to get down to the real bare essentials for the non-metabolic components of life. The stunning thing is about 33 or 32% of the genes in this cell that are essential for life are of unknown function. That means biologists have been missing up to a third of fundamental knowledge over the past two decades.
So it's sort of like you're watching a group of people in conversation, and it's somehow essential that this group sort of hangs together. But because only two people are talking, you really have no idea what the function of each of the members is. You have a limited ability to explain what's really going on.
I think that's an interesting metaphor. So the irony about science, as you know, is science only explores the known world. So everything that we extrapolate in any direction is based on the pieces that we know. But the irony is you can't even know what you don't know. And it's only because we set out to do this complex experiment that took us over 20 years from the inception of the idea that we discovered that we're missing key components in our knowledge set about basic life. You know, otherwise people would have just kept studying the known world as they saw it, and it's not clear how these genes would have been discovered to be essential for life other than that. And that's what happens when the new unusual science experiment takes us into the unknown world and we discover something about it, then we expand our horizons. It was stunning to us in this modern day of science and molecular biology that we were looking at a very near horizon and we missed the bigger picture.
Now, there are two propositions here. One is whether you need about 473 genes to create a self-replicating organism. Proposition two would be, does it need to be these 473 genes, or could it be 473 different genes, different configurations of DNA?
Well, no, it's a great question. And in fact, if you look carefully at the title of our paper, we use the article A Minimal Genome instead of The Minimal Genome, because if we started with any other branch of life, there will be a very large number of minimal gene sets depending on the environment that we're describing and the basic type of metabolism. So it really depends on the metabolism, but we suspect that the other fundamental mechanisms in life that at some stage we would reach a commonality with these. And all this is important if we're going to actually design cells beyond this one to know what the different components do and having cassettes for those pieces. But this is definitely not the ultimate minimal genome. But now we know a functional set that we have to extrapolate back to origins of how we got to this stage where these genes are essential for what we know as modern self-replicating life.
Let's focus for a moment on what this experiment tells you about what must have been the initial conditions for life on Earth, if it started here, or the initial conditions for life in the universe, if the life that's here actually came from somewhere else and landed here somehow.
We can't make that distinction yet, but as we reach further and further from Earth and outside our solar system, and even within it, we will certainly discover life on other planets. As you know, the number of planets that exist just within our galaxy keeps growing almost exponentially. So not only is the Earth not unique and alone in the universe, there's millions of Earth-like planets around. I'm certain wherever we have water and the same basic chemicals that our systems are based on, we will find life.
I think it is possible to ask you the ultimate chicken and egg question here as a result of this experiment. Do you think the capability of reproduction came first as a feature of life, or did the replication come first and it figured out how to do all of the other?
Life could have started in just a lipid bubble in the RNA world, as many people think it did, and these self-replicating RNA molecules then with bubbles blubbing off forming new cells probably slowly or even rapidly acquired other functions over time. And so there's two components now with modern life that are very key. And one thing we've shown with this and other studies that DNA is the software of life. And so what we did in this case, we designed the DNA chromosome. We put it into an already existing cell, and that converted that cell into what was programmed in the new chromosome. So life as we know it probably evolved from that type of experiment going on over the last 4 billion years or so. So those early soap bubbles with RNA molecules could have just acquired some other RNA molecules that started to create a type of programming language as well as metabolism. And we just kept adding those functions. But as I said, all this is speculation. What we do know now with this minimal cell is that there's over a third of genes that we now have to discover their function, because these essential functions are currently unknown to science. And some of these genes, about half of them, are highly conserved across the whole evolutionary tree. So these unknown functions are going to be obviously key for much of biology. So I think this is an exciting phase as we start to unravel what these 149 unknown genes do.
What's your next step? What are you trying to decode next?
So we're funding some internal grants at the Venter Institute to try and work on these 149 genes because we would like to be able to describe the biology of a cell. And just like it's hard to extrapolate beyond the known, it's almost impossible, if not impossible, to get a grant from NIH to study the unknown because you have to know something about it to propose what you're going to do.
Craig Venter, thanks so much. It's always great talking to you.
Well, thank you for taking the time.